Excuse me, it's the operator. Just need to inform all participants that today's conference call is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time. And you may begin.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's Who Is Survey drafting team with the chairs and vice chairs, we have, on Wednesday, the 27th of July, we have Werner Staub, Michael Young, Don Blumenthal, Wilson Abigaba. From staff, we have Liz Gaster and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. If I could also just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Michael.
And Michael, all right. Is, just so you know, Steve Shank sends his apologies. He's at the IETF meeting.
Yeah. I actually was considering going as well. There is a Who Is related BOF, on a, what we call bar BOF, going on there, but it won't get kicked off. That's not a formal BOF, so I figured before I give away two or three days of my life, it's got to be a real start to a working group. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the call. I appreciate it. For Don, we'll try and catch you up, but we covered a fair bit on last week's call. And if you could all start by retrieving and opening the Word document I just sent out. Hopefully all of you are at a computer and can do that. And we'll use that as a framework for today's call. Everyone, a second. Does anyone not have access to their email right now? Okay, great. Give another 30 seconds for people to get it open, and then we'll start moving. Okay, hopefully you have all got that open. What this document is entitled, Work Plan Structure for Who Is Survey Working Group. Please mind the misspellings, and I pounded this out fast and furious. I've had a tight schedule since last week, but I think I captured everything that we discussed and we thought through. I'll just walk you through the document, and then as we go through the document, it'll recap the ideas that we talked about last week and elaborated on some of them and incorporate the feedback we had on communications and so forth. The first section is just a cut and paste from the current scope and objectives from the draft charter so that the chairs can take a look at this and keep referring back to it. We may want to adjust this, expand on this a little bit in regards to what we're going to call Part B, which you'll see further down. I think this current scope and objectives language certainly covers Part A. I don't know that it covers the elements of Part B, but it certainly doesn't stop us from doing Part B. And I think the terminology of report to be delivered to the GNSO gives us a little bit of license for Part B, which we'll cover in a second further down the document. I've also included in here from a link that maybe not everybody has followed and read, but originally with the Who Is Requirements Report, it began with a resolution from Council, and the work was initiated on the Who Is Requirements document, which I think was an excellent piece of work. This particular work we're doing now actually did not come out of a formal resolution. It came out of a discussion and then a statement prepared by Chuck Gomes, who most of you know. You can see I've posted that into the document just so you can review it. It gives us a little bit of guidance and understanding as to what the council might expect from our efforts as well, and where the representation in that group is kind of seeing the concerns. I think it's important when you read Chuck's language to realize that this type of a change or any change that we try and push forward on Who Is functionality through this requirements work entails both risk of adoption, it entails costs for providers. On the other hand, it provides opportunities for providers, because a lot of these providers operating Who Is today are very interested in supporting the burgeoning and expanding IDN space. And this is one of the areas of focus, I think, that really has gotten people finally motivated to do something different about our WHOIS implementations, because our WHOIS implementations have been, frankly, ugly for years and years and years. And why now are we all of a sudden interested in making these changes? Well, IDN is one of the big reasons, and IPv6 is another one, too, but we can talk about that a little later. So jumping down how we structure the work, we've been asked to take this requirements document and ultimately produce a survey and process the results in a meaningful way. This is, you know, difficult work. It requires a lot of thought leadership, and I'm really happy in this case that we've had a lot of volunteers that are willing to take on, you know, whenever you say you're going to volunteer for a vice or chair position, the way I see that leadership position is that that is a additional work commitment on your part beyond just that of a regular member of a working group. And to that end, there will be some higher expectations on you as vice chairs and me as chairs in terms of meeting attendance and support versus just a standard working group member. And I'll come to that when we talk about the meeting schedule at the end of the document. But I wanted to put in this document just the importance of that that volunteer base. I think it's great. And it's imperative when I look at the backgrounds of everyone that's volunteered. Everyone comes from strong communication backgrounds, and I think that that's what makes it possible for us to now take an attempt at breaking up into subgroups and doing some of this work in parallel. So that's where we get into just a work outline. So part A is the idea of breaking the work into the following three areas. And, you know, we talked about this, we covered this verbally in the last call, but I've actually written it down now in this document. And this is the group that will write the actual survey questions. They're going to look at the WHOIS requirements document. They're going to look at things like what Chuck has written. They're going to look towards a lot of the commentary that come back from the other WHOIS-related groups and make sure that they are considering when they draft these questions all the interested parties and making sure that these questions are easily comprehended by the various stakeholders. Well, I don't know if easily is attainable, but we'll certainly reach for it. And another important thing for in terms of creating these questions is the team needs to come up with a strategy that's fair and meaningful to all the stakeholders in terms of a tally mechanism that allows us to, in our report at the end of this, to actually come up with a prioritization methodology for the requirements, WHOIS requirements that came from the respondents. It's important that it's clear. It's important that the way we come to the prioritization of the requirements is unbiased and well-constructed in the survey. Otherwise, you know, we could start a whole circle of arguments of whether or not, you know, among stakeholders of whether or not, you know, the prioritization is correct. So we need to think that. That group really needs to think this through carefully. It's important. The next group is the survey tool and recipient decision team. One of the big questions we raised in our very first call is who does this survey actually go to? And while you're deciding the recipients, you have to also decide the delivery mechanism because they go hand in hand. So this is a natural coupling of action items to review, figure out who the stakeholders are and who should actually be answering the survey, as well as the delivery mechanism. I also threw in here that this group really should consider stakeholders, how we identify stakeholders and those stakeholders outside the sphere of ICANN-related communities. You know, obviously when we think outside of ICANN, we go to our close neighbors. We go to places like, you know, ISOC or ITF or the IGF or center members and various places that are are, I would call it, in the sphere of ICANN. The question that I think this group also needs to consider is, are there stakeholders out of that known sphere? And if there are they able to provide meaningful responses? Do they understand these requirements and these issues around who is well enough to actually give thoughtful and constructive responses? We may be able to identify stakeholders outside that sphere, but they may not be able to give us a response that is, you know, well thought of and that contributes to something that's meaningful. I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, I think that's one of the tough questions this group would have to figure out. The third team is the requirements verification team. And we talked about the fact that things move quickly, requirements or ideas around requirements change. It's already been some time since the report was written. The original resolution lists off a series of stakeholders that were consulted when the report was initially done. It certainly, we all agreed on the first call that it would be valuable to check in with those stakeholders, but also possibly with some other stakeholders that have subject matter expertise. Like, for example, you know, maybe we make a prescribed outreach to some of the IETF stakeholders, particularly those that are working on who is related issues, and ask them to look at the report and comment on it, whether or not they want to add clarification or just their support to what's in the who is requirements report, or whether or not they have additional requirements that they think are vital that no one considered. So this is our sanity check, this group. And the results of this group, all three groups actually feed each other to a certain degree. So group three, for example, would feed additional stakeholders that they discovered up to groups two and group one. And group three would, if they came up with something that was new or considered a new requirement or even something that was that was a significant change or consideration on an existing requirement, they'd have to feed it up to group one so that the questions reflected that. So we all recognized in the past couple of calls that that cross-communication between teams in order to make parallel work effective is very important. So with that in mind, that's wrapped into the meeting schedule and consideration, but let's drop and finish the Part A and Part B before we go into the meeting's structure and see if everyone's okay with that. I think that, you know, I have a little statement in here helping the co-chairs kind of drive a project management methodology mentality. There's alliteration for you. Around how we do our work, because I really think that this particular piece of work is actually relatively defined for us, which is fortunate. We've all probably been in working groups where it's not so defined, so it makes it difficult. But if we want to push forward and produce work on a regular schedule, the first meeting you should have with your group would be to define your scope of work, move to your task assignments, and then actually write a working sub-working group project plan for your team. And I will volunteer to take all those project plans, the three project plans, and compile them into a consolidated one or a master project plan that the entire working group can track and monitor and see how the milestones are being met. That kind of would bring us to the end of Part A when we finish that work with, you know, the administration of the survey, and then the response is coming back. But this sort of comes to an end of what the formal ask from the GNSO was, assuming that the responses themselves form the body of the report. But I think that, you know, the way I interpret the report, and I think the way most of you would, is that, you know, just handing back the responses without some processing and thought on the responses is just really to some degree throwing data on people's shoulders and not helping them understand it. So I think that leads us to say that Part B is valid and required in order to have a meaningful report back to the GNSO. And this is where we come back together as a whole working group in Part B. And we would walk through the responses that we have together as a team from the survey results. Again, in order to make this practical, this is where we really would find it extremely useful if each question was had an intelligent tally mechanism to it, so that we're not trying to interpret the meaning of the responses and the weighting of the responses in terms of the questions. So group one really has, if group one does their work carefully and the tallies are clear and easy to comprehend, we'll be able to move through the responses on each question fairly quickly as a working group. While we're doing that, I think we would take comments from the working group members on those results, discuss them, bind them with each survey question result, and then at the end of the review, go through and document, see if we have any whole team recommendations. Hopefully they're full consensus recommendations, but if not, we put out recommendations that are both full team consensus, majority or minority positions, and that would build really the front end of the report, and hopefully will drive some meaning or some context into how we interpret the results of the survey findings. At that point, we have a document, I think, that we could post for public comment. And our last action then in that particular round would be compiling any responses we got from public comment into the final report and making any adjustments we thought made sense, if any, in consideration of the items that came back in public comment. Lastly, then we have, this is a completely extra item that I'm suggesting that we put in. I can't really justify it like I can the previous items because I don't know that there was a mandate at all put in to Chuck's statement. But I think it's important. If we produce this report and we produce these general recommendations on how to interpret or prioritize the requirements based on the survey, and we don't create recommended next steps, the flow or the progressive flow of actually addressing some of these major community issues raised, not just in this WHO IS requirements document, but in numerous other WHO IS activities that have happened over the last 5 or 6 years. If we don't create recommended next steps, I don't see any path that would move toward implementing any of these requirements, even if the community clearly spoken up about, what their top three requirements are. And I just put this in brackets just to suggest that might be one way of approaching the recommended next steps. So that one in particular, I'd really like to hear your thoughts. Does anyone have any feelings or thoughts on that last suggested work item?
Well, are you asking whether we agree about the importance of this work item?
Yes. And actually, all of Part B, how do people feel about the Part B work elements? Are you guys good with it? And in particular, that last one. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I think I find it necessary. The one concern that I have that is not related to Part B is just overall what the timeline for our working group will be. So maybe
yeah.
We should discuss a little bit how we go into the calendar,
the
physical calendar, and when we expect to be complete, because it looked easier in the beginning than I realize it is now. And
yep.
we should possibly try to look for further adjustments in the sense of what you've proposed already by putting some of the stuff in parallel to see if you're actually getting through in time.
Yeah. Does anyone else have comments before I speak to that? Because I think that comes down to our meeting schedule to some degree, too. Does anyone else want to comment on Part B?
Yeah, it's Don. I'm raising a question here that I don't have the expertise to answer, and don't know if anybody does here, but generally in terms of survey design and response, I can imagine that the idea of a group analyzing a survey that it's developed might be a problem. And I'd really like to get some input from people who are experienced in this to see if there is some kind of inherent conflict.
I hear what you're saying, Don. My own experience, having done surveys over the years for different purposes, is that the conflict comes into play is if we were the decision makers on the outcome. We're simply a group making recommendations and trying to add some contextual meaning around data that comes back, which is one of the reasons I suggested the tally mechanism around the questions has to be objective, has to be unbiased, and has to be clear. Because I think where we would get kind of labeled or in trouble as a group is if we looked like we in any way were trying to influence the prioritization of the requirements.
Precisely. My concern is writing the questions to get the answers we want.
Yeah. So maybe that's a question specifically for group one to try and answer. Maybe what we do is we see if we get an independent body to review and bless the questions, basically saying whether or not those questions are appear objective and well structured for an unbiased response. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't even know if it needs to be that formal. Like I said, I was raising an issue from ignorance.
I don't know how ignorant it is. I think it's a pretty good issue. Sorry, who was just speaking?
It's Liz. My hand is raised when you have a chance, Mike.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't. I'm bad. I did not open my Adobe Connect yet. I'm working off my document here. So, no, go ahead, Liz.
Just to say that in my brief experience with the surveys that we're working on right now for WHOIS, I'm less concerned about the same entity analyzing the data than the entity developing the survey, but I do think that having a independent or fresh look at survey questions to screen for a number of different things, clarity, loadedness of terms, facility in like plain English, a number of different views is extremely useful. And we just did that on one of the surveys I worked on, and it was very important to the degree where I think even I can might have a consultant who, in other words, there could be some funding to take, a couple of hours to look at what's done by this group to offer an independent view that we'd be glad to contribute if that would be helpful. We uncovered some things that were really incredibly helpful in some of the work I just did.
That would, I think, be great, Liz. So, group one would finish off their work, and then if we could have an independent consultant review comment on it, that would be a great check and balance.
And obviously I contribute, Steve's not on the call today, I mentioned earlier, but his expertise just from the standpoint of formulating questions from, his research expertise goes without saying as well.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Do we have any...
One thing that I'll add just about Part B is, you could leave the... You could hold in abeyance, in a sense, the degree to which you decide you'd want to recommend next steps or identify a number of requirements, whether it's 3 or 2 or 5, you know, based on that feedback that you get from the survey. Just you can
right.
For now that the survey is going to reveal information, whatever it might be, and that it could be that it leads you to some number of obvious requirements or some surprising results in a different way. Leave yourself open to say, you know, the very fact of analyzing the survey is going to inform this group about the extent to which making, you know, recommendations that you're comfortable with as a group, you know, naturally come out of the results of that assessment.
Well, I think that's a very good point. So, again, we can make sure that the survey questions actually cover with the respondents not just, you know, prioritization of requirements, but perhaps how they might go about addressing those requirements. What implementation or next steps, level steps, would they think make sense? I mean, it'd be tricky to develop those into survey questions, but I'm sure with some effort we could. So that's helpful. Thank you. Anyone else with comments on Part B in particular? Okay, I'm going to go on to the meeting schedule. And then after the meeting schedule, I'd just like to, before we go to the meeting schedule, can we just confirm, Don, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. We've had volunteers already to lead groups 1 and 2, leaving group 3 open, and we were really hoping that you would feel comfortable with taking the leadership position on group 3. So that we have a nice confirmation. Is that something you think you could do? Do we still have Don?
I just came back. I lost my internet connection, which blew up Adobe Connect and Skype.
Okay. Don, I'll repeat my question. Last call, we already had expressions of interest for leadership on groups 1 and 2, and leaves 3 wide open. But when I think about your background and your deep relationships with a lot of these stakeholders, we were hoping that you would be willing to take leadership on group 3. So it would make everything just fall nicely into place.
No, that's fine. For two reasons. I've done a lot of the outreach since I joined PIR, but I still have a lot more folks to get to know, so.
Wonderful. Okay.
All right.
So, Liz, I guess we've got that. We can finalize that now. So, Warner on group 1, Wilson 2, and Don 3.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. And so let's, you know, it hurts after talking with and I had a couple of emails from people on the call last week just, you know, thinking about how we keep the cross-communications going. And a great suggestion on how we get volunteers for the different sub-teams. So I'll go to that suggestion last. But in the meeting schedule, what I've set up here is in Part A, suggesting we have the subgroups meet every 2 weeks, proceeding with their work elements. Every alternate week, so this means that the chairs are going to be having weekly meetings in order to make, you know, fairly good progress. And this alternate week meeting would really be, I would make a point of structuring it very carefully with a good agenda, and hopefully, you know, if we're efficient at something, we can knock off in a half an hour, and it's there for us to, feed the ongoing cross-dependent knowledge to keep our work going. It's a check-in point, and it's a regular project management meeting where we'll check each other's milestones and look for showstoppers and so forth. And if necessary, help each other's group out if one of the groups is falling behind for any reason. And then there was some expression from the general members of the working group that they'd like to, you know, get a overview of everything that's going on periodically as well during this period. So I was going to suggest that every third chair meeting is a full working group meeting. We'd run basically the same agenda as just a chair meeting, but everybody would be invited, and you know, we'd start the call with maybe a little bit more detailed overview of where we're at, and probably start with the project management review of the milestones, so that all the team members can see where we're at, comprehend where we're at, and also observe the rest of the meeting and see if, you know, that overview and understanding of the total group progress maybe will allow them to red flag something that they're working on that for whatever reason wasn't successfully communicated through the chair meetings, the cross chair meetings. Okay. And then, you know, assuming we get through part A, part B would be people, our working group members indicated a willingness to meet every 2 weeks for an average working group member. Plus, a lot of the work that we'd be doing takes time to process, review, and for people to write things in some cases. So in part B, we just go to meetings every 2 weeks. If we thought we could get a two-hour commitment out of people, we'll go for that, but at least an hour, because at this point we go to a serial workflow. So the longer we can sustain the meetings, the more hours we can put in, the quicker the review portion, the group review portion of it goes. And, of course, we'd have a break in those meetings during the public comment period while we waited for comments to come back. So, Horner, to your idea of calendars, you know, I'm a pretty rigorous and project manager in the sense that I need people to define their work elements and their size up their work before I would sit there and say, this is going to take 2 months versus 6 months versus 8 months. And also think if we don't do, I think quality and doing a good job on this ensures the most likelihood of actually some of these requirements being implemented. So I would almost say that, you know, if we rush this and do a poor job of it, it'll just result in another similar exercise being done again versus, you know, moving on towards implementation. So I, you know, you can see with the attempt to parallelize, I'm big on progress. I don't want this to take a long time. On the other hand, I think the first thing we need to do is you guys with your subgroups is to have a meeting and determine how long you think it takes for you to do your work. I would probably size the work of going through the survey results and building up a report and relevant recommendations. You know, we're meeting every 2 weeks and we can squeeze 2 hours out of people, we might get it done in 2 months. If we can't squeeze 2 hours out of people, then it could take 3 to 4 months, you know, going off past experience with other working groups for part B. Part A is completely dependent on the answers that you as subgroup leaders come back with on how fast you think you can do the work. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, indeed, we probably don't have the ability to go back and correct things that if you got them wrong. So if you got the questions wrong, so to speak, that people don't understand them or they go down the wrong track, you know, once we've already started the survey and people have started answering, then there's no more time to change the questions.
Yeah.
So we should be sure that we get that one correct. And as soon as we evaluate those, I mean, we have to make do with whatever bugs we had in the questionnaire.
Right. Well, so that's another thing for you to think of. If we get a response back and we know that the question is, the responses are clearly slanted because there was a clear misunderstanding of the question, you know, do we discount that or disqualify that question from the survey results? Because we know it went off sideways. Liz, are we even allowed to do that? You know?
sorry, allowed to do what exactly?
Well, let's say, you know, we put out, you know, this is an interesting thought train, but we put out, you know, a survey of 70 or 80 questions, and we get a few of them come back, and we can tell by the responses that the question was misread or misunderstood from how we intended it to be comprehended. Do we disqualify those questions from the survey results? Or, you know, are we even allowed to do that?
Yeah, these are questions Steve would, I would look to Steve to help answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we can, or maybe that's something.
If too many people totally misread a question, we have to discard it, you know, unless you can intuit from the misreading what they meant and count it a different way. But
yeah.
You obviously don't want to include something that has no the validity is unsubstantiated. So
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, my question would be more, okay, can you change it? Now you realize that, but I think that's one of the reasons why you do this this review, is to try to really determine these.
Right, and you know, would it be permissible, so we can have a consultant do that, but would it also be permissible to have somebody to actually have a beta group?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, as you like.
Okay. So, Warner, maybe that's, you know, a beta group plus a consultant plus a described methodology by which we might discount a question from the results if it was clearly misunderstood.
Mm.
That gives us some coverage.
I mean, you could even, this might be extreme, but you could even ask the GNSO Council to assign, you know, from each constituency and stakeholder group, one or two people to review this survey, you know, almost like a public comment.
Well, we could have them as our beta group testers.
You could have them as a beta group, and then you get the council's buy-in. You know, I think you should feel as creative as you like in terms of what makes sense to you, what you think is prudent.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Going back to the meeting schedule for a second, I will make myself available to all of you to support your individual co-chair meetings periodically to help you, because I'm basically asking you to come to weekly meetings. So therefore, I am prepared to come to weekly meetings as well. So, if it's helpful for me to sit in on particular meetings or help you work through materials for a particular meeting, I just want to make it clear I'm available for that. Okay. I think we're in pretty good shape. We've confirmed our group leaders. We've gone over the meeting schedule. Does anyone have any other issues, comments, thoughts before we actually get to it?
Well, I guess one would be, this is Liz, to try to nail down the charter with the group. Incorporate, you know, into the charter as much of this planning as you like.
Yeah.
And then, Wendy Seltzer, who's not on this call, but I think offered to kind of be a liaison to the council, take the charter back. Or,
right.
You know, you can send a note to the council that I can post.
So our goal was to, I'm going to adjust then based on this call and that there's no negative feedback. I'll try and wrap the elements of this work scope here into the charter and feed that back by, say, noon tomorrow. And then at that point, Liz, I guess if it needs to go back to the council, then I guess, you know, it goes back to the council. But first, our working group on the mailing list has to agree to it, right?
Of course, right.
Okay.
And
so
hopefully it goes without saying, but, you know, if any of the subgroup leaders want help from staff on, you know, anything, but I'm thinking more, logistical or substantive.
Sure. Right.
Okay. To let me keep Michael, you know, on all that, but feel free to consider us resources, especially some of the expertise we might have around study methodology and studies coming out of my ears. So.
I don't think we'll be embarrassed to ask for as much work as you're willing to do.
Particularly Steve's knowledge. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay. So one of the suggestions that that Liz, actually, maybe you guys can help us with is getting a maybe we can get a little mini survey going with a doodle with the WG members, seeing which groups, not which group they want to be in, but a very good suggestion that one of our WG members already made to me was that we should ask people to list the working groups they'd like to participate in priority. So pick their top one, two, and three. That way we have a little bit of an excuse to slide people to their second choice if, you know, we find it a very uneven volunteer base. And also to remind people that they're allowed to participate in more than one group if they want to, but they're going to have to be careful about managing their meeting times.
As somebody who's had to organize class project groups, you're going about it exactly the right way. Make sure we don't have overload and to limit Bruce's feelings.
Right. Okay. So, Liz, is that something the staff can help us out with to get a doodle up on for that?
Yeah, Gisela, we're just going to ask people, you know, to pick their first and second choices, you know, for the three groups, which I think we could set up in a doodle maybe using. You know,
the comments feature? What would you use for that choices for in Doodle to for people to express their preferences?
Right.
Okay. I mean, everybody could put in a comment for that matter. That make you know, could be easy, could be compiled easily.
Yeah, it's not that many people. Yeah.
This is Don. I forgot to say that on my last comment. I haven't worked with Doodle that much.
Well, no problem.
Filling in what
that
like
you have on your.
There's another tool called SurveyMonkey that I've used that is more flexible. Might give us more flexibility. Also free.
Yep.
And it might help us for the survey in the end.
Oh yeah, for the survey at the end, we're not using Doodle. Yeah. There's plenty of better choices there.
Yeah,
SurveyMonkey is one of them. Yeah, this would just be so that the members of the working group can weigh in with their first and second choices for which subgroups they want to work on.
I know. It's Don again. I didn't know. I don't know the limitations of Doodle for even that purpose, so that's why I was throwing on SurveyMonkey.
Gisela, or if you're on, let us know what you think would be best, or we can discuss it offline and let you know what you think would be best.
Just to say, Liz, I'll be in touch with you. I just need the questions, and then once I've got them, I'll just see what I can, if I can do anything with Doodle.
Okay, and Steve can help you, too.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Does anyone want to bring up any new business or topics? I guess for our next meeting would be our next goal between now and the next meeting set up would be to get the updated charter to the list. If I get that to you, Liz, by midday tomorrow, how long do you, and that goes up, or I put it to the list rather, how many will we get to maybe the end of Monday for working group members to either edit or approve? Yeah, and then how long will it take to do whatever rounds are appropriate for the council?
I expect the council to kind of approve it on list by acclamation and not require any special vote. If I find otherwise, I'll let you know.
Okay, so would it be safe for us to, you know, just worry about getting it approved internally in our group, pass it to you guys for the next steps, and just go ahead and assume we can begin our work? I mean, we can always adjust for it if it comes back with some adjustments, right?
Exactly. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. So, you know, I guess, Chairs, I would say that you should go ahead with Giselle and set up your meetings, your first meetings, and probably, you know, if we're getting out the draft signed off by Monday, then the end of Monday, then, you know, anytime mid to late next week would be great to start the meeting cycle off.
Well, what's the timetable on putting the request out for subgroup volunteers?
I think we should do that right away. So we put that out now, and we ask for people to get their responses back by, say, the end of Monday as well. So that coincides with the draft charter.
I would think we would be able to get out a request within the next day or so.
Yeah. Okay, so we're Wednesday now. That gives people a couple of working days plus over the weekend. Well, let's be careful. Let's say they should have their choices back on the working groups, you know, by the end of Tuesday. But that really shouldn't affect your kickoff date, I guess, for your meetings. Probably, well, maybe yes, because you know, you may want to reach out to people that you know are going to be in your group to identify that meeting time. Why don't we plan the first subgroup meetings for not next week but the week after, just to make sure we have enough time to process all this and you have enough time to reach out to your subgroup members once they're identified.
Yes.
Of course, we'll have problem with some people, including myself being away. So, the week after next, I will be mostly traveling.
Okay. Well, so, you know, as chairing that subgroup, Warner, you can play with the schedule as appropriate.
Okay.
Yep. We'll attempt to stay. I'll attempt to anchor the chair meetings, but you guys can certainly flex your meetings in and around those. You know, if you miss the prior week and you know the chair meeting is on Thursday, and you can squeeze in the prior week's meeting on the Tuesday of that week and do two meetings in 1 week, and that's okay for you. I don't think it bothers any of us as long as whatever works for you.
Okay.
All right. So am I missing anything, guys?
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, let's call the wrap then. And, you know, just one more time, my action items. I'm going to update the charter. Giselle is going to get the question out for the subgroups. The co-chairs are going to work with staff to set up their meetings, their first meetings, not this week, but the week after. And our deadlines for the working group to come back and approve the charter is the end of Monday, and the responses for the subgroups is the end of Tuesday. I think that's everything.
Okay.
Fantastic, guys. I hope the meeting was constructive for you.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Take care, everyone.
You too.
Thanks so much for the support.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.